Every month we get to meet people whose individual stories are intertwined with the story of the region, people who work on farms and forests, for example. Stories of Southern Oregon are compiled by Maureen Flanagan Battistella for the Southern Oregon Digital Archive, or SODA, at the Hannon Library at Southern Oregon University. This month, Maureen is back with Fry Family Farm. The entire farm is here with us. Actually, two generations of Fry Family Farm. Steve Fry is across the table from me in the studio. Good to see you, Steve.
Thank you, Jeff.
And Tara Fry, his daughter, is here as well. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
She and sister Amber, is it?
Yes.
Are back on the farm as adults, beginning to play larger roles in the transition of the farm from one generation to the next. So, Steve, let's start with you. This has certainly become a generational story. Was it one before you and Suzanne started the farm?
I think it's always been that way from the very beginning. I mean, that's kind of why me and Susie got into the business. We could bring our kids to work without, you know, we were the owners. So, and it's kind of like, how are we going to be with our kids and have a job? So, yeah, it's always been kind of that way.
But it was not a farm you got from your parents, for example.
No. We started over here in the valley 29, 30 years ago and with nothing, half acre and a tractor and a tiller.
You were a truck driver for a while, weren't you?
I was a truck driver. Well, that was my day job.
Yeah.
So that was the one thing that I could do that I did get from my parents.
That was generational.
That was generational.
Right, so
I was
that
third generation truck driver. You know, my grandpa was hauling hay from Bakersfield to L.A. With one of those chain drive trucks.
So why decide to get out of the trucking business and get into farming? I mean, there not as you mentioned, it was a thing you could do with the kids, but you're making an interesting face.
I used to take the kids trucking with me as soon as they could get as soon as they got out of diapers. It's like, you can't come with me until you're potty trained.
Was that extra pressure to get your potty? No, you wouldn't remember.
I never went. I didn't get to go. I was too young.
Well, how many kids do you have?
I've got five girls,
daughters. Okay,
five daughters. So you know. And the trucking business that I was in, you were gone for 2-3 weeks at a time. So that was a stupid job because by the time you get back, it's like, who are these people? What are these little children running around here?
Yeah.
They change so fast, you know, at that age. So it was like and we knew we wanted to be farming. I had a tractor. I had a tiller. I came from farming back in the day. And so that was our goal. So in the wintertime when farming is flat, I'd get in a truck. Which is a great time to drive truck because I'd go back east and battle all this weather and come back to beautiful Southern Oregon, the banana belt of the United States of America.
So you said that there was some farming way back. So there was some farming in your family? I mean,
no, not my family, in my life.
Life, okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, in Santa Cruz, like the story goes, when I got out of Vietnam, I settled in L.A. and Topanga Canyon, we had a little garden up there, and because my parents always had a garden, so I loved gardening. I got this big impression in Vietnam that every piece of ground should be farmed because that's the way it is there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And it's like I got back here and it's like, where's all the farms? So, you know, that was what I kept in my mind. That's what I want to do.
So let's talk about a progress report. You started with, what, half an acre, one tractor, one tiller?
Yes.
And what are you up to now? It's like five different plots or something for Fry Family Farm, isn't it?
Well, we've got three major farms. We have our home farm, which is now just greenhouses and storage for the bedding plants that we do. And yeah, a lot of people, a lot of tractors. It's the American dream.
Working hard.
And this is where Tara comes in and starts laughing. So was this a dream you had growing up, though? I mean, growing up on a farm, obviously you've been around it your whole life.
It's
not like you can separate the farm from who you were growing up. But was it the kind of thing you wanted to grow up and get away from?
No. I wanted to get away so bad. I think growing up and doing it, you know, when I come home from school and then my mom says, okay, you girls need to come out and make so many bouquets. And then we'd make, you know, 10 bouquets and then the next girl would go out and make 10 bouquets and it'd just go in a circle until all the bouquets were made. And doing that is like my whole life and then going off to college and being like, I cannot farm. That's the one thing I don't want to do. And then, you know, leaving college and being like, okay, what am I supposed to do now? I don't know what I'm going to do.
What'd you get a degree in?
I got a degree in biomedicine, and I thought I wanted to go into the medical field, but that was just a horrible decision on my behalf.
What were the things that scared you away from medicine?
You know, I don't I think it was more just like, I don't want to mess someone up. Like the fact that I'm in charge, like I would be in charge, like
a person's life.
Seriously, I couldn't do it. So then I was trying to find myself and what I wanted to do. And at the same time, my sister Amber and her husband had a child and were like, I can't live in San Francisco anymore. We're going to come back up and work on the farm. And she was a sister that never worked on the farm. She was one of the older ones. She had very little.
Tall and stately.
Well, they had a choice. They could either work on the farm or they could do sports. You got to do your homework first. Then you could do sports and not work on the farm. Do something.
Yeah. Something.
Yeah.
You had to do something.
So Amber chose sports and Tara worked on the farm.
No, I chose sports.
We all did sports. They all did sports. Anything to not work on the farm. So sports, they all straight went into sports.
Yeah.
Some of them have no sporting skills at all. Still went into sports.
So did you realize that you had like a homework enforcement system in place here?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Number one thing is, you know, you got to graduate college. That first of all, you got to go to school. And that's most important. And then once you get the homework done, you can come work on the farm. Oh no, Dad, I got basketball practice. Mm-hmm. Can you take me? Generally, Mom did, but
Mom. But even in my when I was in high school and I had daily doubles for soccer in the summer, I'd go to practice in the morning, go pick flowers right after practice, and then go back to practice at like 2 or 3 o'clock. So in the in between, I would be doing picking flowers and doing all that stuff. So
it hasn't hurt you, has it?
Definitely hasn't hurt me. But it's like, you know, it's like playing a sport your whole life. You either want to play it the rest of your life or you don't want anything to do with it. So that's how I kind of see it. It's like I either didn't want anything to do with it, but then coming back and like having my parents with me every day and seeing my sister every day and the life that we live it's the best thing that I could pick for myself.
Fry Family Farm, the focus in this month's edition of Stories of Southern Oregon. We have Steve Fry and Tara Fry, his daughter here in the studio, Maureen Flanagan Battistella, the curator of Stories of Southern Oregon, back with us as well. Questions, comments from you, things you'd like to add to the conversation? Maybe you know the Fry family. It seems like a lot of people probably have met you over the years. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So how long ago was it that Amber came back to the farm and helped cinch your decision to go back and work there too?
I would say about 3 years. No, maybe four. Cora's five. So 4 years ago, mm-hmm. Amber decided that she wanted to move back. And then we decided, okay, if we're going to come back, we need to figure out what we are going to do on the farm. Because Mom and Dad have their thing and what they do. And we needed to add something if we wanted to make something of our own.
You have to add to the income, too, I would think, to be able to support a couple of different families on one farm. This is something I learned from the research for our next hour today.
Yeah, I mean, they support a family of workers that we've had working for us forever. And adding us, we don't get paid a ton of money, so it's not a huge chunk that they have to come up with, but it's
federal
still something.
Minimum wage. I mean, come on.
Oh yeah.
Do you have to pay the Oregon minimum wage?
We have to pay the hemp minimum wage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The hemp minimum wage. That's far succeeds everybody.
Yeah. Or the wine.
Competitive. Yeah.
Or the wine, you know.
Oh, okay.
The high dollar value crop.
Sure, okay.
Minimum wage.
So the integration of your three families and two generations, that couldn't have been silky smooth.
Actually, it is.
It was.
So that's not what I've heard.
Oh,
not what you've told.
And Maureen's interviewed you already.
No, well, I mean,
post interview, huh?
It's hard.
What
coming.
Have you heard?
No, okay. I mean, it's silky smooth with how we interact with each other. It's not silky smooth with how we have different ideas about how we want to do things.
Right.
So Dad and Mom have their farming ways, and they're pretty stuck in that.
And you're clear that Dad and Mom are the owners.
Yes.
You're very clear about that. You've set your boundaries.
Yes. We are clear about that, except Amber and I think that we're the owners half the time.
He's shaking his head.
And that's where the boundaries, the walls go up, you know. It's like, well, that's great. I appreciate your help, but you gotta
get back
this,
to work.
You got to get something going over here.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So we now we have the farm store, and that's Amber's World, and the kitchen is Amber's World. Tara is kind of a floater, so she can do everything.
Right.
And me and Mom, we just sit in a rocking chair.
Yeah, right, right.
I gather you're still very active chair. On the farm.
Very active.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Nothing's changed. It's only gotten more busy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, we have a lot of stuff going on.
So what happened to the other three daughters? Because you're the youngest, right?
Yeah.
And Amber's the oldest. So you mm-hmm. got three. Where do the middle kids go?
We got one in Kansas. She's a school teacher. She got her degree in teaching, I guess.
She got a master's in teaching.
Master's in teaching.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is in Bend, Oregon. She's got her doctorate in physical therapy. And the third one, the first daughter, is down in San Francisco. She does art. What does she do?
No, she's a hair and makeup artist for magazines.
Hair and makeup artist.
So when are they coming back?
I doubt they'll come back.
Okay.
The one in Kansas should be the first. The doctorate in Bend, she makes way too much money.
Uh-huh.
And
she doesn't care about us.
Yeah. She loves us dearly, but she loves her money.
So, Steve, over the years, we've talked a few times about farm succession, which obviously is a big issue right now because there's a whole generation of farmers, and I forget what the figure is in age, but it's
like
right up to the median age of farmers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is an issue for lots of people. Had you had these discussions many years ago? I mean, when the kids were still doing their soccer two-a-days and
yeah,
things, were you already having those discussions about farm succession?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, that's always in the back of our head. How is this going to go? Yesterday, so Amber has her grandchildren. Children that hang out at the farm, and little
her children.
Children. Okay, your grandchildren,
my
Amber's grandchildren,
children.
Okay.
Amber's children are hanging. Yeah, and it's like a third generation right there.
Yeah.
You know, little Caden and
Cora
running around. You know, so it's pretty cool to see all that. But yeah, we've always had that. It's like, you know, I want the farm to succeed. So that's half the reason we built this new complex over there, the warehouse and the farm store, kitchen and all that, to give them an avenue to branch out and
succeed.
Succeed. Thank you.
What kind of stuff goes on in the kitchen then? What kinds of things are getting made there?
Oh, well, my God. You have to go. You have to
says
go.
Maureen.
Yeah.
What did you see there? Tell them.
Pickles and jams and pies and dinners and what? What?
Everything.
Fruits and vegetables.
Well,
yeah. Oh,
that's right. I noticed you're hiring a baker.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
Yeah, pastry maker.
We hired a baker to make our pies.
We got a bakery. We try to, you know, it's value added. So we want to do as much as we can with what we have. And then we can also bring in the local stuff and process their stuff. We sell Dunhauer meat.
Yeah, Dunhauer meat. They have the best grass-fed beef.
You know, so we try to stick with the local cats that are trying to sell their stuff, so we have that in the store, and try to keep the produce going in there.
But it was always Dad always hated how much waste there was in farming. There's a ton of waste that people don't see because you go to a grocery store and they only want the cream of the crop.
They want the really good looking fruits and vegetables,
yeah.
Nothing blemished or dented.
Exactly. So, you know, 90% of the stuff that comes out of the farm, it's really pretty, but you know,
don't make the grade.
Yeah.
So it's the stuff that did have the dents and the bruises. Those are the things that end up in the jams and the jellies and the pickle jars. And
Yeah. You know, a pepper with a little blemish in it, you can't sell. But you can cut the blemish out and you can make stuff out of it. So we freeze peppers. We have a nice big freezer. We can freeze all the stuff during the season, store it in these 5-gallon buckets, and then bring it out through the wintertime when we don't have that stuff.
It's a huge kitchen.
Yeah, it is.
And people are always creating, it seems to me. Every time I go out there, there's something new on the shelves, new in the kitchen.
That's the idea. You know, it's a rental kitchen, so we can also rent it. Certified kitchen, so we can rent it out. The whole space is rented. We had a Saturday growers market out there.
Thursday. Winter market.
Thursday winter market.
Talk about the winter market. That was new this year. It was
that
very
was new
cool.
this year, yeah. And it was something that they didn't really think that it would be a thing, and then we had it, and people started showing up, and it was amazing how many people came out.
I came out like the week after the first week, and I said, "How was traffic?" And they said, "Oh, it was great, but we're not going to have any more traffic because they all spent their their chip money or whatever it was, you know, their SNAP money.
Yeah.
But no, you're saying it continued on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it was for the first year in the winter. It was a great market, I thought. Mm. Yeah. All the vendors, I mean, I'm on the board there, so I get to hear everybody's positives and negatives. And everybody was pretty positive about it.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah.
Folks from Fry Family Farm are guests on this month's edition of Stories of Southern Oregon. You're hearing Steve Fry, who is the founder of the farm with his wife, Susie, his youngest daughter, Tara Fry, youngest of five. Tara and Amber are back on the farm now working as well. And, of course, Maureen Flanagan Battistella, the curator of Stories of Southern Oregon, back in the studio with us. Got a question or comment? Join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. How much of an education have you had over the last 29 years? You said you had some farming experience already when you started Fry Family Farm, but has this been a lot of error and trial?
Yes. Farming for me has all been like going to school every day. You know, you learn about employees. I mean, to be a farmer is kind of tough because there's so many bases you got to cover. If you look at baseball, all those bases and all those fields and all those different strategies and all the stuff that goes into baseball, it's just like that. You got to know plumbing, electrical, greenhouse management, the personnel management. I mean, every day I go to school.
You got into the business, I mean, after we were well into a period in American history when the attitude seemed to be go big or get out of farming. And you're not a big operation still.
No, but considered very small.
Yeah.
And it's even worse now than then. It's changed in the last 5 years with consolidation of grocery stores and what's happening in farming and the grocery chain. It's changed a lot, and now it's even worse. We got into organic farming when organic was brand new, and the pressure was on producing a good crop. None of the conventional guys wanted to get into that because it was too hard to – but now, 30 years later – it's their game. They're into it. So the pressure's on small farms. Small farms, like 5-10 acre farms, are going to do fine. We're kind of in the 90-100 acre thing, and that's where the pressure really is being applied because now our wholesale market is kind of collapsing.
Oh, no.
Are you feeling the pressure yourself, Tara?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely, because it's, I mean, even not even just our wholesale, just even in the valley, we have a hard time at farmers markets with all the smoke that has been happening the last few years. So even at the farmers markets, I mean, they've gone down, what?
They're very stagnant. The farmer growers markets are flat.
It's horrible.
The produce deal is a little tough right now. Grocery stores like the Co-op and Shop and Cart are being pressured by the bigger stores in the valley to keep the prices down low. Everyone's fighting for the bottom.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be cheap.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be cheap.
We have a guest coming up in the second hour who has a lot of thoughts about that. We have an email from Brian Notown Given. He wants to know if there's any impact from Jackson County's GMO ban on your operations or farming in Jackson County in general, do you find?
No, we're certified organic, so the GMO deal is not really our thing. In fact, we fought for the GMO deal. We wanted the GMO ban in place. I was affected in my seed operation by a GMO grower in my area, and we tried to negotiate a plan where we could share time growing different non-compatible pollen crops, and the corporate said, no, we're not going to do that. The farming corporate company that he worked for, and so it was just, okay, game on, let's get them out of here.
We had an email from Becca in Lane County, wondered how many houses you have on the farm.
Houses?
Mm-hmm.
Greenhouses?
No,
we're
people
living
houses.
We don't have any.
We don't have any housing for our employees.
How about for yourselves?
No.
For ourselves, we have our house.
Yeah, but it's not really on the farm. It's more of a just they only have greenhouses up at their house. Mm-hmm. So the actual farm in Medford, there's no housing.
Mm-hmm. Is your home site zoned rural residential or?
Home site CFU.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a good question.
And we did farm on that property, but all our other farms are EFU ground, and we haven't really been financially able to put, you know, farmer housing on our property. So no.
I'd love to have a house on that farm. I don't want to have to commute.
Yeah.
So talk about the future here. I mean, as you look at the next 10, 20 years or so, Tara, what do you see for, I mean, particularly when you're acknowledging struggles in the moment in farming?
Well, we have to go with the times. And right now, I don't know. I think we have to figure out something new to do instead of just farming vegetables and flowers. And so for us, that means either moving into the hemp world or moving up into the Portland area and selling up there flowers. I mean, we started doing that a couple years ago, selling to all the new seasons with our flowers, and it's been a huge success. And this year, this morning, I got an email from our flower girl, and she said that they would like us to send more up there a week. Mm-hmm. So maybe
flowers have been a mainstay for your whole
operation. Yeah, my mom has been doing all the flowers. You know, my dad gave her, two rows of flowers in the very beginning.
When I first met her, she says, "Can I just have some flowers in your garden?" And back then, I was like, "No." No.
Need the space for the fruits.
I need more vegetable space. We were in Santa Cruz then. And so now, you know, it's like, yeah, flowers are big. We're getting more money for our flowers in Portland than we are here in the Valley.
Organic flowers.
Right. Yeah.
They're organic flowers. So that's kind of a niche.
The footprint of flowers is amazing.
Just a couple seconds left here. I mean, do you have a spot marked on the calendar for when you and Susie step back from the farm? Or are you going to keep lifting things,
sir,
until you can't lift them?
No, yes.
Yes, that is the second answer is the correct
one.
You
know, the second answer is correct. As soon as they tell us you're through, we're tired of you, we're buying this thing, we're done, you're done, I think we're just going to be stuck.
That'll never happen.
I pointed at my building to the guy yesterday, and I said, there's my retirement.
Okay.
I blew it.
Steve Fry, Tara Fry from Fry Family Farms. This month's focus in Stories of Southern Oregon, curated by Maureen Flanagan Battistella, who collects the guests for us. Thank you so much, Maureen.
Thank you for growing good food, guys.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you to the Frys for showing up. Good to have you here on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks, yeah.